Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 09-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, AIDS. During the 80s, we became aware of the AIDS virus. We thought it was a disease related to homosexuality, and we were told that it came from monkeys in Africa. Wherever it came from, it scared some of us to death. Some say it is a biological agent used to deplete the population, particularly people of color? Are we victims of a mad scientist, diabolical experiment sanctioned by the powers to be? Or is this AIDS virus simply some unfortunate freak of nature? If you think that you might have contracted AIDS, you can contact the HIV testing site and care services located for testing sites. Also contact your community health clinics or your physician. According to the World Health Rankings, Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, has the highest rate of death per 100,000 people from AIDS. The highest being South Africa, 412.82 people. That's the highest rates being in African countries, and all the African countries, South Africa has the highest rate that I saw. And it is lower in North African countries, like Morocco has 3.62 per 100,000 people. And it's only a couple of them up there like that. Not to say that 3.62 is a good number. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's a lower number. Middle East, Iran has 5.71 per 100,000. With Oman, 6.9. South America comes in. Russia comes in second with to Africa with 36.39, which I was a little surprised at that. Russia had that rate. Then you have third, South America, which is I think the highest that I saw was Ecuador at 18.13. So you have Africa, Russia, and South America. Those are the, apparently the hot spots, but none of those areas are as hot as Africa. Nowhere near it. New York Times. Miss Gina Colata says, Dr. Richard Wapenberg, an epidemiologist at the Federal Centers for Disease and Control in Atlanta, stated that the evidence that Robert Ara, 15 years old, died of AIDS in 1969, nearly a decade before what had been the country's first known AIDS cases, indicates that the virus may have been introduced and reintroduced into the American population on several occasions. I'm going to say that one more time. This is what Dr. Rothenberg is saying. The evidence that Robert R., 15 years old, I said a 15-year-old youth, died of AIDS in 1969, nearly a decade before what had been the country's first known AIDS cases, indicates that the virus may have been introduced and reintroduced into the American population on several occasions, but that it may have died out for lack of a large, very sexually active population to transmit it. That's very important because, we had the sexual revolution right around that time also. Evidence indicates to many experts that the disease originated before then in Africa, although this has not been proven. From Very Well Health, Mark 19, in 2017, the United Nations Program on HIV and AIDS, estimated that there are 36.8 million people living with HIV in the world today. Of these, approximately 2 million were newly infected with the virus over the course of a year. The number of AIDS-related deaths, meanwhile, topped 1.1 million. In South Africa, nearly 400 people die of an AIDS-related illness each day, despite efforts, the government efforts to get citizens tested and treated. Here are the latest statistics as reported by UNAIDS. 1.1 million AIDS-related deaths in 2016 add to the world's total 39 million deaths reported since the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. While high the number, the AIDS death is still 42% of it. 42% of it back in 2004, so that's an improvement. Tuberculosis remains the leading cause of death in people with AIDS because your body can't fight off disease as well. 790,000 deaths were in sub-Saharan Africa, which is nearly half of what it was in 2004. And it's still high. Even if they're talking about these 42% differences, the numbers are still high. Around 240,000 deaths were reported in Asia and the Pacific, a drop of 11% from 2014. 41,000 people died in Latin America, while the Caribbean accounted for an additional 8,000. Eastern Europe and Central Asia were the two regions where the death rate increased from 2004 to 2014, nearly tripling in the size due to high rates of injecting drug use, the other method of spreading the disease in the region. The death tally in 2014 was just over 62,000. Meanwhile, North America and Western and Central Europe accounted for 26,000 AIDS deaths. Disproportionately, the United States represented half of these, 13,712, and has the unfortunate distinction of being the country with the highest HIV prevalence in the region. Since the beginning of the epidemic, the U.S. has had over 658,000 deaths attributed to HIV and AIDS. The impact of the epidemic, AIDS mortality, HIV from HIV Insight Knowledge-Based Chapter, Dennis H. Osmond, Ph.D., University of California, San Francisco. AIDS was not recognized as a new clinical syndrome until 1981. Remember, the kid died, the 15-year-old died in 1969. But then, you know, they didn't recognize it as a part of the AIDS syndrome, the clinical syndrome then. But they went back and tested the material taken from that child and discovered that he died from AIDS. Researchers examining earlier medical literature identified cases appearing to fit the AIDS surveillance definition as early as the 1950s. So that was 69. Now they went back to the 1950s and the 60s. So that will include that young man. By 1993, AIDS had become the leading cause of death among persons 25 to 44 years old, and eighth overall amongst all causes of death, accounting for 2% of all deaths. These estimates were made by the CDC. Over 40,000 U.S. residents died of AIDS in 1994 and 50,000 in 1995. In 1994, AIDS accounted for 23% of all deaths among men and 32% of all deaths among African-American men. It was third overall causes of death for women, 25 to 44 years of age, 11% of the deaths, but first among African-American women, 22% of the deaths. Changes in demographic characteristics of cases over the time. The epidemic has become increasingly an epidemic of non-white populations, of women, and of heterosexuals and injecting drug users. Only 8% of the earlier cases were females. I'm going to skip some of this because there's a lot of numbers here. The proportion of new cases on white, not Hispanic, dropped from 60% in 1981 to 43% in 1996 and to 28% in 2001. The proportion of new cases in African Americans rose from 25% in 1981 to 50% in 2001. And the proportion of Hispanics rose from 14% to 20%. There were 2.5 times as many new diagnoses amongst African Americans and Hispanics than among non-Hispanic whites in 2001. African Americans are represented amongst AIDS cases at four times their population in the U.S. population, and Hispanics at nearly twice their population percentage. Now, this is a guy called Dr. Robert Gallo. His name seems to be all over the AIDS laboratory, so-called creation, manipulation, or whatever they did with this virus. This article says, I created AIDS to deliberately depopulate humanity. In April 1984, Dr. Robert Gallo filed the United States application for his invention, the HIV-AIDS virus. Now, some people dispute the fact that he could even at that time we had the technology to even create or a virus of the nature of the AIDS virus, a retrovirus. The AIDS virus is a designer byproduct of the U.S. Special Virus Program. The Special Virus Program was a federal virus development program that persisted in the U.S. from 1962 until 1978. So here's the thing about that. They found cases that resemble AIDS in 1950. So this is 62. So I mean, the AIDS have up to a 20-year incubation period. So that still might cover the people back in the 50s. So anyway, I'm going to keep going. The U.S. special virus was then added as complement to a vaccine inoculations in Africa and Manhattan. Now, that's what we first heard about the first story we got about AIDS was that we got this one story about it came from homosexuals. Then we had a story about these monkeys in Africa. Somebody got infected with the monkey some kind of way. One of the theories that you get cut, you have an open cut, and you touch one of those monkeys, or they may have an open something, you catch it that way. I think somebody might have said some people had sex with monkeys back. I can't remember some of the stories that I heard about how AIDS came about. So they said that AIDS is a biological process, laboratory development of the peculiar Vicina virus, first detected in Icelandic sheep. Recently, American and world scientists ensure with 100% certainty the laboratory genesis of AIDS. So that was a recent finding. The fact is, underscored once one reviews the simply spliced nature of the HIV TAT sequence, and Dr. Gallo's 1971 special virus paper, reverse transcriptase of type C virus practices of human origin. Dr. Gallo's 1971 special virus paper is identical to his 1984 announcement of AIDS. Dr. Gallo concealed his role as a project officer for the Federal Virus Development Department, the special virus. Between 1964 and 1978, the secret federal virus program spent $550 million of payer cash to create AIDS. Now, who was the payer? Who was the payer? You know, I didn't have time to research that, but that right there is an interesting topic right there. Who is the payer? Who was paying for to create a virus that will compromise a particular group of people's immune system? That's right out of the movies and the comic strips, like Batman or something, like Superman. It's right out of that. So some people dispute Robert Gallo created HIV. I think it's not even important if he created it or not. Who created it? Is that it was created, and for what? For is the reason. But apparently, Mr. Robert Gallo did have something to do with the AIDS virus in terms of working with the virus. He said that he tried to put a patent on it. I guess maybe he did something different to it and tried to patent that, which he did. I don't know. We're not even going to get into that because that's the argument between – it's irrelevant. if he did it. He had something to do. His name is all over this AIDS virus thing. So they said the samples of HIV-positive blood did not originate from New York homosexuals from the 1970s, but instead date back to the 1920s Congo. So the virus, the samples of the virus date back to the 1920s. Unless Mr. Gallo was all back in the 1920s, he couldn't have invented it. And I don't think he can. I don't know about inventing is the right word for that anyway. I think things already exist. We can only manipulate them. We create nothing. The virus most certainly did not originate from biological weapons programs, which are only today becoming advanced enough that creating such a virus is even theoretically possible. That's what the writer is saying. They are most certainly not advanced enough in 1920 or even in 1960 to create a synthetic retrovirus, which is what AIDS is. Okay? One of the articles he saw blaming Gallo comically claims the chimps were supposedly deliberately infected with and released in 1979, which somehow led to the virus occurring in New York in 1971. HIV was created through combining lymphoma, leukemia, and carcinoma viruses. He bust out laughing because he said none of the things listed was a retrovirus or even a virus, and cancer has literally nothing to do with HIV. See, not being a scientist, I don't know what the connection of those things might. That could be have some connection to what they do. We can't argue that. So that's part of the argument of whether or not Robert Gallo is telling the truth or had anything to do with it. But his name is all over HIV laboratory work. So we're going to, you know, that's just one point, you know, just want to bring that up. I just mentioned that because there is a opposing argument to what I just said. We're going to move on to the part of the U.S. Special Virus Program added as a complement. Inoculations in Africa and Manhattan, the U.S. Special Virus Program from 1962 to 1978. The virus program added as a complement vaccine inoculations in Africa and Manhattan to develop the Vizsla virus first detected in Iceland sheep. That's one of the claims. A retrovirus is a virus that is composed not of DNA, but of RNA. Retroviruses have an enzyme called reverse transcriptase that gives them the unique property of transcribing their RNA into DNA after entering a cell. The retroviral DNA can then integrate into the chromosomal DNA of the host cell to be expressed there. HIV is a retrovirus. So that's how it replicates itself. So the U.S. Special Virus Center program in 1962 and 1978. The U.S. Special Virus Program, formerly Secret Federal Virus Development Initiative to develop a contagious cancer that selectively kills based on genetic ethnic markers of the host. So, you know, these people alleged that this was a program here in the United States. So, you know, why would the United States want to 1962, 678, hey, we know they didn't like black people too much around that time. So, and not that they favor, you know, Hispanics, blacks at this time anyway, but hey, maybe that is a feasible, you know, assertion that, yeah, they didn't like us to the point that someone somewhere wanted to get rid of us. That wouldn't be far-fetched to see that people not of African descent want to be rid of people of African descent in this country. That's not a far-fetched idea because it's been going on since we made contact. Since we came with taken and, you know, held captive here. The U.S. Special Virus Program published a 15-annual progress report detailing the progression of manipulating animal viruses to infect human hosts. Each progress report details the progress of special viruses. Scientists, including Dr. Robert Gallo and Dr. Duesenberg, as they work towards their contracted gold to create a special virus. So there's Gallo again. You know, these people allege that the United States in this. U.S. special virus through the U.S. special virus program. U.S. special virus progress reports represent 15 years of missing medical and scientific history. Several copies of the U.S. special virus progress reports have been recovered from University Science Library shelves. However, six of the reports remain missing, and even some of the nine copies known to exist at the National Cancer Institute archives have recently disappeared from government shelves. Sounds like a cover rip. We have a caller, 4804. Welcome to Provocative Talk. Hello, brother. We got
how you doing?
We got a TV in the back. Here.
No, I don't have a TV in the back. I'm in transit.
Oh, you're in transit. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they use those computers to tell you, like, what's the next time. And, you know, so, but anyway, you know, when AIDS first came out,
a little louder, I can't hear you.
I said when AIDS first came out. Hang on, brother. You can hear me now?
That's good. That's real
good
right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's
good. Yeah. When AIDS first came out, they didn't have a name for it. I mean, AIDS just did hit the scene in the 80s. And like you said, historically, it's been out for... I mean, the first cases was in the early 40s and 30s. You know, they used to, I remember in the 60s, 70s, during the drug epidemic, the heroin epidemic, where people used to get hepatitis and pneumonia and everything. They said that was like AIDS right there. And I know AIDS was a death sentence. But you know who made billions, trillions of dollars off of this disease?
The pharmaceutical companies?
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
Would that be the payer? We're talking about
payer.
They spent $550 million on AIDS laboratory work with the. A payer, they say, would the payer be people who had interest in addressing the medical issues around HIV and AIDS?
No, I'm talking about just buying medicine, the patients.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's
that
what I'm
have HIV. Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You pay for your own. For your disease, and you have, because you're going to invest in the cure for it or the treatment. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm not saying pharmaceutical companies paid. It just said payer. I don't know who did it, but like you said, pharmaceutical companies are benefiting from that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's one
big
of those
time.
Things make you. Yeah.
Big time.
So who paid?
You know, I mean, they talk about these street dealers. The pharmaceutical companies are the biggest drug dealers in the world. Well, anyway.
Well, they sell drugs.
I know that's not it. Huh?
They sell drugs. They do sell drugs, right?
Yes. Yeah,
hey,
which people OD offer it, you know, but
quite frequently.
I think that, you know, I think it's like I feel they still scientists, even though, you know, what happened? It was only supposed to attack a certain population. I don't know what population they was targeting. It was only supposed to attack a certain population and got out of hand and reach a certain part of society. And they said, oh, my God, it's a crazy thing. Oh, we got to find the research. We got to raise funds. They have all these concerts and commercials and policies to address HIV. So I think if it was stayed in a particular community, I think there would never been no advancement. And that's mine. I mean, I don't have any evidence, I know it's just my feeling about it. Just historically, what happened over the years with certain issues, when it's in a certain community, they aren't a lot of money. There's not a lot of research, what have you. But when it hit other communities, and I don't want to name them, but when it hit certain communities, it's an outcry. It's a crisis. Also, we have to do something about it. You know, instead of just
right.
addressing the issue when they first with scientists or the medical field find this out. I mean, it's
right.
their responsibility. For God's sake, they take an oath.
Okay, they take an oath, but what does that mean?
You know, to treat all, no matter what, race, creed, or color, you know, or income. But that's not the deal, Bob. I mean, look at the immunization. They are starting to come out with more and more reports about immunizations. Look at that. I mean, in certain states, it's the law where you can take your baby and get immunizations. And they find out that it's creating all kinds of defects in the child.
They're finding out, or are they now being forward with that information?
Are they what?
You know what I'm saying? Are they just finding out, or are they now being forward with the information?
I think they always do. Yeah. It's what they think about certain fields. They know. It's just being transparent or forthcoming with the information. They know. Or do they have evidence to back their finding? You know, that's something that really has to be explored. I mean, for God's sake, again, you know, it's law. And now there are a lot of parents it's in the middle, like, what they should do. They're uncomfortable getting the kid immunization because of these reports, but if they don't, and then, you know, you have a lot of families, if they don't have their child get these immunizations, they're cut off from public, from the social service industry.
You call that blackmail, right? Blackmail,
right? No, extortion.
Extortion, yeah, extortion, you're not blackmail. That's
yeah.
right, extortion.
Extortion. If we don't do this,
right.
it's going to happen. I mean, the United States been doing this for centuries, man. It's nothing new. I mean, I know a lot of friends that died from this aggravated disease. And I think the cause of it, I do agree with it. It used to be, at first, it was a gay disease. And find that, that's not it. And then they say it was just the blood. It really has something to do with the blood transfusion. But my thing is, now...
That's a transmission, though. That's how you transmit the virus. That's not the cause. That's not the cause of it. That's a vehicle
that's how
for
you
the
transmit.
Virus.
Right. Now it's like what really stunned them. Okay, the drug abusers. Okay, check. You know the reason why. Homosexuality. You know the reason why. But when heterosexual women was getting it, that's done in the medical field for about 5 years. The doctors had their mouths wide open. They didn't know what to do. They though, you had church women coming down, you know, with HIV. You know, so it was a terrible crisis. And, I mean, I haven't read too many articles in the past, like, 10 years about this. It didn't really quiet it down. I wonder if it's, I mean, in certain cities, it's rampant. It's just rampant. It's all over the place.
I don't know why it's so quiet about it, because it's alive and kicking.
That's what I hear on the streets. That's what I hear.
Yeah. It's alive and kicking, like Bruce Lee.
And especially young folks. Especially young folks in this day and age. That's what surprised me. You know, I can understand somebody like in the 40s, 50s, no, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I can understand that because it was in the generation. But you got 30-year-olds are still contracting the disease. That's what surprised me. Maybe because I'm a little naive. But I thought just like the other week, it was just like, oh, people still smoke crack. I think people still smoke crack in 2008. You know, you can't get out of here. Yeah, but not too much in our community, but in other communities.
Right.
That's why they want so much we can build cases instead of lock them up.
Right. So, crack moved out a little farther. Crack relocated. Some crack.
No, it always been there. It always been there. But with the media attention focused on our culture, white folks have been getting using crack cocaine or powder cocaine, heroin, meth, 10 times more than black folks.
Oh, okay. So you have a disproportionate and a bias toward the
yes, because of the meat. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something else. The judicial system, this is documented. I can't give you the source right now, because I got to look it up and everything. The judicial system and the political system pumped a lot of money into this. Pumped a lot. When I talk about pumped, it was almost close to $1 billion. Pumped a lot of money into this to make the image of the black man as the criminal man. White folks wasn't coming to black neighborhood by their own. They had their own dealers. They got more dealers than we do. Well, just the imagery of hey, what you were saying earlier. Was this another technique, a strategy to break up our culture? I agree, yes. But just like drugs,
it's trying to kill more than our culture. From what I see, Africa is almost like depopulated. It's being depopulated by AIDS. 400 and some people a day. That's a lot of folks. South Africa. That's a lot of people.
And I just want to know what type of medication being passed on. Hold up. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of Africans. In the past 3-5 years, met a lot of Africans. I don't see how. I know, you know, just like other countries, they love sex and everything, and that's one way to be transmitted over there. But I mean, I know about this, they always made in a laboratory, what have you. The monkey, I heard about all those different things. I won't be surprised. What kind of people would do that? If it's true, let's say if that theory, the hypothesis is true, is that it was a laboratory, experiment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of people think of that? That they want to create a disease to wipe out a culture? Who thinks like that?
They targeted a certain group of people. That's sad, ain't it? I mean, that's the tragedy, that is somebody that had that type of mind, mentality.
Because
that tragedy gives birth to the tragedy of AIDS, if it's true. And other diseases.
But,
I mean, this is just one of them.
Yeah. Tuberculosis.
This is just one. This
yeah.
is a bunch of them.
I mean, they tried so many. I mean, who sit down and think? I'm gonna wipe them out. I can't wipe them out. We're making money off them. We're building prisons and locking them up and everything. And we're gonna flood their communities with all bunch of drugs. Like, who thinks like that? Or we're gonna create a disease. Like, or we gonna to what Malcolm said? We're gonna build up a. Buffoon, bamboozle them. They can think, oh, yeah, you have to do this. This to help your child, but it's hurting your child. It's hurting generations. Who thinks like that? No, God, no sense. Who thinks like that?
Who benefits from that? Who benefits from that?
Whoever thinks like that. Whoever thinks like that.
Whoever enforces it, right?
Yeah. And that's
enforcing it.
That's
right, enforcing
it
for their benefit.
That's what I was saying earlier. Nothing goes down in the United States without the political system giving their stamp of approval. You know, there's regulations, there's this and that. The thing got to go through City Hall, State House, White House, Congress.
That's right. That's right.
And everything got to go through them. If you're dealing with them, they got to get the final approval. You know, and half of them, 50%, I'm going to say it's high, 50% of them, ain't no illegal gangsters. They know how to manipulate. Again, manipulate the law and policy in their own, whoever they're representing benefits.
Do they still use mercury in immunizations?
I don't know. No, I'm not a medical guy.
No, oh, okay.
I wasn't good in biology. I'm not a science guy. I read it, you know, for information. I really don't know that stuff. And, you know, my thing is politics. You know what my thing is. You know.
Right.
I don't know. You got. So for that, you got to find a scientific dude to come on your show to answer that question.
Yeah, I'll find out. Because, you know, they use knowingly, you know, everybody knows mercury is a neurotoxin. Everybody knows mercury is no good. Can't touch it. I think that's general, right? Basically, everybody knows mercury not good for you, right? You can't drink it. Can't put it in your body. It's a neurotoxin. Will kill you. Will impair you.
Man.
Right, but you know they use that to increase the shelf life.
That.
Right.
If you ask
right.
me,
well,
the only I'm being facetious. The only mercury I know is in thermos. Don't know science. I never was that
right.
guy.
Okay.
You know, I'm the guy that hits the streets to try to, you know what I said.
Right.
But yeah. So. I mean, it's something else. I didn't know, you know, it has not been too much information. I didn't know we were still in the crisis. The medication, and I even heard this, that certain medication for this disease not good, like the APT.
Yeah, get the T cell count down low. Some is undetectable.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So you're supposed to get the
I haven't heard of a cure for AIDS,
to go up. Oh,
Right.
The T cells are supposed to go up, and the other thing's supposed to come down. I forgot what the other thing's called. I know the T cells are supposed to go up. Come on, God, courage. Suppose you don't have it, that means you die. No, seriously, if you don't have the proper insurance, you don't have the money, that means you die.
Well,
what's up with that? Ain't this country supposed to be an equal opportunity country?
Well, they have a website. They have a website you can contact from the government for help, you know, with HIV testing and things
like
that.
You got to
They do have a website.
Yeah, but hold up now. You have to qualify for that. If you make $1 too much, don't qualify. Oh, yeah. It's regulation. That's, you know, America. It's America. As it's there. You know, it's not like Canada.
Right.
They still have senior citizens going to Canada to get their medication for their illness because it's cheaper and better. And they live longer. Well, you got the money. I have the money to do that. If you don't have the resources to do that, what? You're supposed to die. No, seriously, die. Because you don't have the resources.
Well, that's another problem in terms of getting treatment.
Yes.
That's another show. That's right.
Yeah.
Who gets medical care?
Yeah.
Which we already know that based on you know, the type of society we live in. You know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
For you to get a certain extent of medical care if you don't have the money.
Like, for example, don't give you an example. I know it's off the subject a little back, but it's still medical. Senator McCain. Got brain cancer, right? He's still living. Got the greatest care. And he's a dude like me. I can't afford that care. What I've got, what make him better than me? No, seriously.
Okay, well, that would only be... Because
he got more money.
Well, in a capitalist system, who's the better man? The guy's going to, you're selling an orange. One guy's going to give you $10, the other guy's going to give you 10 cents for an orange.
Yeah, but that still doesn't make it fair. Now, hold up now. Hold up. Now, this is a Judeo-Christian country. Am I right or wrong? It's supposed to be a Christian country, right?
Okay, and you're saying that means what? What does that supposed to mean?
Help thy brother. This is the foundation of Christianity. Help thy brother. Now, how are you helping thy brother making his decision who lives and dies? Because this guy got more money. This individual got more money than this individual. He's no borders. If this was a Christian country, a true Christian country, no matter what, we're going to help everyone because what Christians are supposed to be by. This country is not living up to their word. That's what I'm trying to say. The country not living up to their
word. I understand what you're saying. You know, but, you know, their word in terms of the time when they wrote certain documents wasn't specific to everybody in the first place. They didn't mean everybody, right? Or they couldn't have had slaves, right?
But that's what's saying the Constitution, bruh. That's what's saying
those guys had slaves. They wrote that.
The 18th Amendment. The Fourth Amendment said that even though they ain't considered as human. One time, that fact, cow and the bull had more prompts. The horse had more prompts than we.
To who?
The cow, the bull had more props than we did at one time in this country.
Right.
Look at that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you strongly think that the AIDS virus was created, manipulated, or whatever, and basically, administered to the population in order for to spread?
I don't know, man. I can't say, but my personal feeling, I think biological. It's biological, but I don't put it past scientists, because scientists are always playing around. That's what they do. That's what they get paid for. They're always experimenting. I won't put it past them.
That's okay, here, check this out.
I'm gonna say it is.
According to,
I'd say 50% of the diseases in this country are probably created in the laboratory. Of course, they're playing around
there. Okay. But here's what another guy says. General Accounting Office Health and Care Team under the direction of William J. Scanlon between 1964 and 1978. The secret federal virus program spent $50 million of taxpayer money to invent AIDS. This guy is saying that it was made by the government, a government agency, a guy who was working for the government, right? The office, General Accounting Office's healthcare team spent taxpayer money to invent AIDS. They alleged that.
Show us that.
Paperwork.
Show us the numbers. Show us the facts. Show it to us. I'm not going to discredit your findings or the study, but show it to us. Just don't tell us. Show us.
On July 18, 1983, the United States concedes that HIV and AIDS evolved from Vicna. That's the Vicna virus, that early virus.
From where?
Vicna. That was the virus. There was that's the sheep virus.
Now when you mentioned that sheep earlier, I never heard that before. Sheep. I heard the monkey thing. I never heard the sheep. But
you know, experiment on a lot of animals that are similar to humans.
My thing is Carlton. I'm always a solution guy. You know, yeah. I know the historical thing. I know the foundation. Okay, now what we going to do about it?
What is solution to AIDS for you? What do you think? How can we resolve this problem?
We got to get doctors. We got to get doctors together. Because we got some, especially black doctors. We got being biased, especially black doctors.
You know, doctors are mainly, their job is to administer things after the fact. You know that, right? Doctors deal with you after you become. Doctors deal with you after you become sick.
I have a bad connection, Carlton. I'm gonna have to cut this conversation short, but I can't.
You can't hear me?
No, I really can't hear you.
Okay. All right, Kenny.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, my man.
All right.
Good show.
HIV, AIDS phenomenon is very interesting. At least we have Dr. Boy E. Graves. speaks about the true history of the origin of AIDS can be traced throughout the 20th century and back to 1878. He takes it even back farther. On April 29th of that year, the United States passed a Federal Quarantine Act. The United States began a significant effort to investigate causes of epidemic disease. In 1887, the effort was enhanced with the mandate of the U.S. Laboratory of Hygiene. This lab was run by Dr. Joseph Quinone, a deep-rooted racist who served the eugenics movement with dedication. 2 years later, 1889, we were able to identify mycoplasmas, a transmittable agent that is now found in the heart of a human, in the heart of human diseases, including AIDS, HIV. In 1893, we strengthened the Federal Quarantine Act, and suddenly there was an explosion of polio. In 1898, we knew we could use mycoplasma to cause epidemics because we were able to do so in cattle, and we saw it in tobacco plants. In 1899, the U.S. Congress began investigating leprosy in the United States. In 1902, we organized a station for experimental evolution, and we were able to identify diseases of an ethnic nature. Very important, 1902, station for experimental evolution. They were able to identify diseases of an ethnic nature. And that's very interesting. In 1904, we used mycoplasma to cause an epidemic in horses. In 1910, we used mycoplasma, he alleges, to cause an epidemic in foul birds. In 1917, we formed the Federation of the American Society for Experimental Biology, FASEB. In 1918, the influenza virus killed millions of unsuspecting. It was a flu virus modified with a bird mycoplasma, the thing used to spread diseases for human primates, and no acquired immunity. In 1921, led eugenics philosopher Bertrand Russell publicly supported the necessity for organized plagues against the black population. This is what Mr. Boyd is saying. In 1931, we were secretly tested African Americans and were tested for AIDS in sheep. In 1935, we learned we could crystallize the tobacco mycoplasma and it would remain infectious. I'm going to have to cut the show short because I have I'm not even halfway through some of the information I wanted to share. I want to thank everybody for calling in, those who are listening. I want to say thank you and tune in next week. As always, peace and love, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one. See you next week.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.